Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Tuesday night. I suppose there are not listening to George Bush parties getting started all over the nation tonight. Because, after all, something on the order of 60% of America despises the little punk. And so his state of disunion tonight, there's not much to count on out of it. There's not going to be much coming from it. But we will sort of carry it in the background, and we'll talk about it as it goes along. If you, look, you know how the mainstream media, the smart people, you know, the ones that are all so much smarter than us and understand what George really means? That kind of thing, and they said, "Well, you know, Bill, he was brilliant tonight. You could barely tell that there was an earpiece in his ear." You know, those people. We're going to do that. Only here's the trick: you get to be, because you are the smart people tonight. If you want to call in and you want to be on air and you want to listen to Dear Leader prattle along and offer your commentary, won't that be cool? Let's carry forward with this stuff that started with the filibuster of the filibuster. Let us reinvent what the media is, because it is us now. The corporate media, has, the mainstream media, whatever you want to call them, they ceded their rights and they ceded their authority a long time ago when they toadied up to Dear Leader, didn't they? But, of course, it's not just the State of the Union. Sammy the Sleaze, Sammy Bad Breath, was confirmed today. And frankly, the final vote tally, in a word, pissed me off. 58-42. With Tim Johnson of South Dakota, Robert Byrd of West Virginia, who else? Ben Nelson of Nebraska. And, who? Kent Conrad? He's a Democrat. Yeah. And, yeah, four Democrats caved. Four Democrats voted for this guy who, this misogynist. This weird, weird, creepy little dude. And there was, of course, one Republican senator unable to vote, Ensign of Nevada. So, yeah, 58-42. No, I guess Ensign did make it to vote. Okay, well, whatever. But, you know, with his confirmation, that 42 number, that's 42 Democrats could have stopped him. So you've got the incredibly duplicitous position of voting yes on cloture and no on Alito. This was not a free vote. This was, and you know, it's up to us to let them know that it's not free. We might not look. You might not beat them for a while, but you do have the opportunity here to let them know that you're coming for them. And why not? Why the hell not? And of course, with the ascension of Alito, We know, you know, we know from his opinion in Planned Parenthood versus Casey that he wants women to have to ask permission of their husbands to see to their basic necessities with their own insides. So I look at it as a gift. Now, Agnes had to go out and do some grocery shopping earlier today, so I took that opportunity to place a little call to the hospital. We're going to, because, you know, even if she sued me trying to stop me, Alito, it would go all the way to the Supreme Court, and Alito would be on my side. So we're going to go to the hospital, and we're going to get them little tubes untied.
And you, I'm sorry, they'll take me for murder. Okay. You're not getting that.
Ladies in the audience, guess what? In Alito world, you don't control your own insides. Really, you don't. So, you know, I mean, what's four or five more babies, Agnes? I mean, come on.
All right, ladies, it's like this. If he wants to control my insides, I'm going to take his out.
See how mean liberals are.
I'm not mean. It's just a fact of the matter. If you want to play with mine, I get to play with yours.
No,
I just play differently.
No. You're a girl. You're subservient to men now, right?
What? Are you kidding?
You know, it says so right there in 30-second flip-floppians. Wives submit to your husbands.
Yeah,
and it doesn't just say submit in a few things. No, it's you know, you got to submit, honey.
No. It was the guy who wrote it. I'm not submitting to anyone.
Well, you're going to hell.
I'm the mistress of my own castle and no master. I don't have a master. If I want to pray, I'll pray to God. I'm not going to pray to a man.
You better take that up with Judge Alito, honey.
He can kiss my butt. And see, I was being nice. I didn't curse.
No, you didn't. You didn't have to red button yourself.
As far as I'm concerned, I didn't vote for the guy. Berg voted for him.
But that's the point.
I did vote for the guy who voted for Berg.
You voted for the guy who voted for the guy.
I will never vote for him again. He sold me out. He sold my family out. That's the end. There'll be no more. But just because a guy wears a black robe and wants to get up there and play God, well, he's not my God. And if the other people want to feel that way, that's their right. But there's not going to be anybody tell me what to do with my own body. Because when they start that, then
honey,
I get to do it to them.
Honey, I hate to tell you this, but really, he wrote the opinion, the appellate opinion in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and he affirmed the Pennsylvania statute that said, now it was later overturned by the Supreme Court, but, you know, another case of him screwing up. But he said that it was okay to tell women that they had to get their husband's permission to have reproductive surgery, which is what an abortion is.
I guess that's why a lot of women won't be getting married, isn't it? Their family values just went down the drain. And if they want to come and get me for all the murders I'm committing by having my tubes tied, well, then they're just going to have to come and get me. But they don't get to play with my plumbing.
Sorry, but they kind of do. I mean,
sorry. They'll kill me first.
Or, you know, send you the mainstream news story today. Halliburton has gotten contracts to build detention centers, supposedly for illegal immigrants. Up next, clarifying the definition of illegal immigrant in the United States. And that in, you know, liberals. They're building the concentration camps, folks. They're building the concentration camps for the uppity women who want to control their own insides. They're building the concentration camps for uppity men who think that women should control their own insides. They're building the concentration camps for uppity labor activists who believe that a guy or woman who goes out and works 8-10 hours a day ought to be able to live a decent life and not be cast into poverty. The day is coming. It absolutely is. So 58-42 was truly putrid. It was just disgusting. I want to know. I want to know from those quisling Democrats, from those Vichy Democrats, from those mugwumps, those Dinos, if you had enough courage to vote no on his damn nomination, why didn't you have the courage to vote no on Cloture? You gutless gang of punks. You good for nothing, do nothing, go along, get along, But it's done. It's done. We're going to get Alito. And Ann Coulter's running around trying to incite people to poison Justice Stevens. She's just kidding. What happens to just kidding after somebody acts on it? Because the sad thing is, if you advocate, there are right-wing nuts out there who understand that when Ann Coulter says, yeah, just kidding, that she's giving cover. Was she just kidding when she said that the only shame about Timothy McVeigh was that he didn't blow up the New York Times building instead of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City? Was that just kidding? We are dealing with mean, violent, hateful, despicable individuals on the right. And we best know that going in. Your phone calls are, of course, welcome. You know the phone number, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
If you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so.
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Let me bring you songs from the woods to make you feel much better than you could know.
Better than you could
dust
know.
Dust you down from tip to toe.
Dust you down from tip to toe.
Show you how the garden grows.
Show you how the garden
Hold
grows.
Hold you steady as you go.
Hold steady as you
join the chorus if you can. It'll make of you an honest man.
Let me bring you love from the field.
Welcome back.
Poppies red and roses filled with summer rain. To heal the wound and still
oh.
the pain.
The I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Let's go to the phones. Bob is calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're Head On.
I never left you.
What's going on, man?
You keep saying, welcome back. Well,
yeah, I know. Isn't that dumb?
Yeah, it is.
It's one of those little glitches that old radio people get into. Like, you know, you didn't go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere. We just played we played something else for a couple of minutes. But still, we have to say welcome back, and we have to tell you what time it is.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. What time is it?
It's 22 minutes after the hour, Bob, and looks like traffic's going pretty good out on the freeway.
It's about 5 minutes to midnight. We're looking at doomsday, okay?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. All right. Now, when do we step back from the brink? But, hey, I thought I was going to say hi to Agnes.
Well, you certainly can.
No,
I'd
like her to jump in here a minute.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
Yeah, well, I got that one way back when you talk to a gal, you just say, hello, darling.
That's a good one.
And it tickles them. Just, you're trying to tickle the dragon's tail, Bob.
Hey, what are you trying to get me in trouble over here?
Well, no. Hey. I'm talking to all them Democrats, all them, how did Mike put them? Mike says them Republicans sitting out there on the edge or something. I'm not sure how he puts it, but he does it real well.
Oh, yes, he does.
Well, see, the Democrat women are feral. We're kind of wild. We don't like people fooling with us.
You talked to Glenda once, right?
Yes, I did, and she's lovely.
Yeah, well, she's got as much teeth as you got, girl.
Good for her. That's what we need.
Yeah, well, hey, no. We all have to pull it together, okay?
That's right.
It's you, me, and Bob, and Glenda, and everybody else out there. You got to pull it together now. Hey, they didn't take us down, but we shook them up, right?
Yep.
That's right.
And we scared them a bunch.
Well, they need to be scared. They really do, because we know who is with us and who's against us. You know, George Bush said that, and look where he got us.
You got to remember something. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have so many souls. So many others that have gone before us, okay?
That's right.
We've got children. We've got our progeny to worry about, but we have mountains to stand on here, kids.
I know it.
We got mountains to stand on here.
We may have mountains here for a little while longer.
Well, you're thinking about, yeah.
I figure now they're going to start blowing the tops off. And have free reign to do it. I figure now they're going to start blowing the tops off of our mountains and have free reign to do it.
Yeah, well.
Alito was the best thing that ever happened to mountaintop removal. I mean, if this guy says that a coal processing plant doesn't have coal safety laws applicable to it, this is going to be a merry chase.
What happened up in Canada the other day?
I know what happened up in Canada. They had a mine fire, and their miners survived.
How the hell did that happen on this continent?
I know.
On this continent. No, I'm not talking about something that happened back when Queen Victoria or some Russian princess had lots of hospitals. I don't give a hoot in hell about history. I'm talking about the future.
Yeah,
and
right
now. You are too.
Yeah, and I mean, thank God. I mean, I didn't get to mention the story, and I should have. I'm glad you reminded me, Bob. Thank God. Thank competent government. Thank competent regulation. Thank meaningful rescue systems in Canada that saved those miners' lives.
Meaningful rescue systems.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
It has nothing to do with competent government. It has to do with the companies that are forced by regulation to do what they have to do to protect the people that do everything to make the sons of, okay, I'm not going to say the last word.
I know.
SOBs. Rich.
But that has to do with meaningful government, Bob. That has to do with a government that is responsive to the needs of its people. And one
Where
of the
does that come from, Bob?
It comes from a country that whose people haven't been completely hoodooed. Although with this new conservative government coming in, well, you know, regulations are probably going to turn bad up in Canada too.
I want to talk to Agnes.
Well, what we got to do, Bob, is we got to get out of here. We're at our break.
Hey, but listen, okay? It doesn't have anything to do with competent government. It has to do with informed
people. And they're the ones who make
guess
that government.
What? The United States of America has an 85%, okay?
Yeah.
Population that cannot. Now, this is I'll dig you up the survey and send it down the line, but not even a survey, hell, it's just a study of the American population.
Well, and the other thing that's worth mentioning, Bob, I am informed that that mine was a union mine.
Oh, yeah, of course it was. It's in Canada.
So, you know, that makes for a competent, unbowed, unbroken workforce.
But the word that I'm trying to tell you is it's this, okay?
Yeah.
85% of the population of the United States of America cannot comprehend a complex sentence.
Yeah.
Let alone a complex idea. Okay?
Yeah.
Can't even put together. No.
I know what you mean. But, Bob, we got to go, man.
Okay.
Got to hit the break.
Good night.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Bye now. And let's see. We'll come back more of your phone calls if you wish, or your emails are welcome, too, at bob@headonradio.com. The phone number, of course, 877-443-2366. And, this won't take too long. Won't hurt at all. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. You look so fine that I really want to make you mine. 4, 5, 6, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey?
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering. pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Agnes is in a mood tonight. Yeah, I do like the video. Oh, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Great to have you on board this evening. Yes, dear.
It's Bob's birthday, and I'm dancing for him, Lib.
Okay. Now, somber moment. Straighten up now. Coretta Scott King passed away in her sleep last night. And I have said 1,000 times on this program, if I've said it once, that God is a God of irony. How much, you know, on the day that it becomes apparent that we're going to get this thug Alito on the Supreme Court, this man who despises women, who hates women so much he didn't want them to come to his beloved Princeton, who authored opinions saying that it was okay for employers to say, well, we ain't going to be hiring no black folk around, y'all. On the day that that man was foisted off on us, Martin Luther King's widow passed away. If there is a heaven, and if there is any metaphysical justice, perhaps those two are finally reunited somehow. I don't buy into the whole pearly gates and streets paved in gold. That's, you know, that's just imagery. I don't know. I don't know what happens after death. I don't know where the candle flame goes when the candle goes out. But somehow, if there is something after all of this, I hope those two are together. She was 78 years old. She'd been in bad health for a number of years after a nasty stroke. She passed away in her sleep. I used to, when you're little and you're being taught those little bedside prayers, you know, you want to terrorize a kid. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake? I used to be terrified of the idea of dying in my sleep. Yeah, and Agnes has a sleeping disorder. Oh, my God. But I don't know, maybe that was for the best. She was born April 27, 1927. And she spent her life after the assassination of Dr. King, she spent her life working for his vision. And again, on the day that the idea of democracy in this republic took a body blow, Mrs. King just checked out. And we are the lesser for it. Also, no sooner did the confirmation vote go down than legislators in at least five states are now proposing anti-abortion measures that will really go a long way toward their attempt to gut Roe v. Wade. Lawmakers in Georgia, Indiana, Ohio, South Dakota, Tennessee are all proposing banning all abortions except when the woman's life is in danger. You getting this, ladies? Guys? I found this over at our pals, WD40.com, with the note from the guys there, Clyde and Wally and Dookie. Well, that was quick. Can you imagine that? Yes, dear. I have, this is going to be a weird night.
I've got a question. Are they going to ban the EPT tests so that you can't find out you're pregnant?
Some of these misogynistic wingnuts, these woman-hating wingnuts, if they could, they'd ban menstruation.
Do they seriously think that just because they did this, that will stop? Before it ever came to this point, women, years and years and years ago,
thousands,
knew how.
They've always known how.
To abort themselves. If they had 12, 13, 14 kids. I mean, think about it, ladies. It used to be women got married when they were 12 years old.
14, yeah.
You know, very, very young. And do you think that they didn't have some miscarriages or things
those
like
are
that in between?
Hey, look, Agnes, dear, do you not remember, what was it, a year ago that we read that story about the statute that was proposed that would require hospitals to notify law enforcement authorities in the cases of miscarriages that showed up in their emergency room?
Well, I tell you what, anyone who's married that doesn't want to report to their husband, go to Texas. They passed their own amendment. You're not married.
Well,
even though you are married, you're really not. So just cross the line.
No, I understand. God almighty. You know, and this also from WD40.com, a report out of WHO-TV in Iowa. I know we've got some friends in Iowa. An Iowa poll by the Des Moines Register, 61% of Iowans think the nation has gotten off on the wrong track, 29% it's going on the right direction, and 10% aren't sure. Well, those 61%, I wonder what percentage of those people voted for George Bush. I mean, that's the obvious first question. But now that the barn is burning and the door is closed and the horses are already gone, you know, they're in the bucket brigade. 29%, that 29% would think that, are standing in the burning barn and thinking, it's sure, my, this is certainly warm and nice and comfortable in the middle of the... So, those two groups are fairly easily understandable. But I tell you, I want to get to know that 10%. The 10% that aren't sure if America is okay right now. I want to sit down and have a beer with them. And I also want to, like, you know, take their wallet and stuff, because these people are obviously ignorant as dirt. No, I don't want to take their wallets. You get what I mean. <sighs> 59% disapprove of George Bush's job performance in Iowa. Of course, that's pretty close to consistent with the rest of the nation. We despise the man. We loathe him. And why wouldn't we? He is as big a screw-up in this job as he is in anything else he has ever attempted in his sad, sorry, ignoble life. Isn't he? And from, you know, the earliest day, screwing up school. Screwing up his first business ventures. Engaging in branding at Yale, for God's sakes. Branding other human beings. With a wire coat hanger, I might add. And America finally is waking up. Holy hell, what did we do? But then again, of course, found it over at 12thharmonic.com, this House joint resolution. That says, let's repeal the 22nd Amendment. And, of course, you know, who's the... Steny Hoyer? No. Couldn't have been. Well, I don't have it here in front of me. But anyway, co-sponsored by none other than one of the single most insane men in the House of Representatives, James Sensenbrenner?
Exactly.
I don't think it was Steny Hoyer. Can't remember. Well, anyway, but I saw Sensenbrenner and went, well, okay, that makes sense. And all of that is the backdrop to tonight's State of the Onion address. The Onion has many layers. So, what are you doing for the State of the Union tonight? I mean, are you going to watch it? Are you going to try to find, you know, see if maybe there's some professional wrestling on maybe instead? You know, it's about the same thing. It's going to be tough. I mean, we're going to bring it up on the computer here, and we're going to rebroadcast it, like I said, in the background. We'll listen from time to time. We'll yell at George together if you want to. But the toughest part is going to be watching Democrats applaud that bloodthirsty war criminal. Watching Democrats applaud the biggest terrorist on earth, watching Democrats applaud a guy who poses more of a threat to world peace than any other human being, and yeah, I include Osama bin Laden with that. Osama bin Laden doesn't have the world's largest military at his disposal. Pervez Musharraf at the World Forum in Davos, Switzerland, made comments in the last couple of days. He said, no, the United States didn't ask him for permission to bomb Pakistan and kill those 17 civilians when, you know, those 17 peasants when they thought they were going to get Ayman al-Zawahiri. No, Pervez Musharraf said they didn't ask for permission, and Pakistan certainly didn't call him in, and Pakistan didn't give permission, and in fact, Pakistan wasn't even consulted. Do you understand what that means? Of course you do. Why do I ask? That means that under the Bush Doctrine, we can bomb anybody, anywhere, at any time, for any reason or no reason at all. And we're going to sit and watch Democrats in the Congress, in the Capitol of the United States, we're going to watch Democrats applaud that criminal. Now, I don't know how much of it I'm going to be able to stand. I honestly don't. I'll try. I'm gonna do my dead level best. Now, apparently, some of the stuff we're going to hear this evening, we thought we had him licked on Social Security. We thought we had him licked on Social Security, but guess what you're going to get tonight if the advanced press is any indication or is to be believed. We're going to get a renewed call for the privatization, yep, of Social Security.
Boo.
Yeah, it helps better. It helps more if you push the little red button when you say boo there, Agnes.
Boo.
Boo. And we're going to get a call for the renewal of the tax cuts because, you know, America isn't completely destroyed yet. At some point, you've got to, you know, this is not that situation. Well, you know, we have differences of opinion, but we're all Americans and we have to find the common ground. This ain't that. This is, turning into Mel Tillis. Only I can't sing. This is not, these people cannot be negotiated with. They are terrorists, and we should not negotiate with terrorists. I wish to God we would see that massive infusion of spine that William Rivers Pitt called for. I wish we would see the Democratic caucus stand up, turn their backs on that murderous bastard, and walk the hell out. But you know it, and I know it, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see that kind of a display of courage in the face of despotism. We're not going to see that kind of courage in the face of tyranny. Because then the mainstream media and all the Republicans would crank up the megaphone, and they'd say nasty things about us if we actually stood up for the principles upon which this nation was founded by God. Not founded by God. That was an exclamation. You understand. No, we're not going to see it. No, we're going to sit there and watch, you know, at best, you know, the Democrats are going to manifest their displeasure with George Bush by sitting with their hands politely folded in their laps. God, if only they had a few lace doilies. You see us? We're not clapping. We're not clapping. We won't clap much. Often. I don't know who's going to be in the audience tonight. Is it going to be another Iraqi woman with a purple finger? I don't know. And, of course, we're going to get a bunch of blither and blather about personal health care savings accounts. How the hell are we supposed to put money in a health care savings account, George? Statistic out today or yesterday, the savings of the American people, the average American family, the savings of the average American family are at their lowest level since the Great Depression. And he's going to tell, well, you know, we can't have health care for everybody, but some of you people can have health care savings accounts, and they're very popular. So, you know, he doesn't live in the same reality as this is something out of a science fiction novel. This is some dude that has slid through from the evil universe. It's that Star Trek episode with the, you know, with Mr. Spock, with the Fu Manchu and evil Kirk. In the wrong dimension. This guy does not understand that Americans who have to work 2 and 3 jobs just to survive and keep their families fed and the lights on, he doesn't understand that they don't have the extra money for a damned health care savings account. Son of a... How much more divorced from reality can this crowd get? Health care savings accounts, my left hind foot.
When you can't start a Christmas club, how in the world are you going to start a health care savings account? My kids have a couple of friends. Their dad just got laid off. They have to move.
Yeah, my daughters came to me crying. My best friend is moving away because her daddy got laid off and they got to go back to Ohio now. And we're going to be talking, yeah, the economy's just in tip-top shape. It's rolling right along. You know, it's the captain of the Titanic. Iceberg? What iceberg? We don't even think an iceberg. Let's go to the phones. Rick's with us from Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
yeah, well, you know.
You know, I was just listening to you, and there is an abundance of insanity and doublespeak and incredible things going on that's coming out of this White House. I was listening to Randy earlier, and her advance message was... that this health savings account will require some kind of $3,500 investment per year or something. I probably got this wrong. But it sounds like it's introduced voluntarily in a pseudo-voluntary way, and then it ends up being sort of like another one of those hidden taxes where it will be automatically withdrawn from your pay each pay cycle to be able to make sure you've got this $3,500 in there. Plus, I thought there was another. She mentioned some other sum of maybe $1,500, and I don't know if that's a deductible or what. But I'm very interested to see how he explains it tonight. And that's that. You know, that's just one of the weird things that are fluttering around. Then I've got I just recently got an email from Mr. Terry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was thanking me for signing his stupid petition, and and then talking about how wonderfully successful his filibuster thing went, considering they managed to garner or gather 25 others who supported it. So he basically, you know, like all these people do, they put on a happy face. I mean,
I kind of did that myself last night, Rick. I mean, we take our victories where we can find them. I'm grateful that that where we started with zero or one, we actually got 25 senators who would stand up.
I just can't do it. I can't go down that path only because, you know, failure is failure and defeat is defeat. And it just shows where we're at. I mean, that to me, that whole vote and everything, that just shows you. The closure vote. It wouldn't matter if it had been five. Okay.
And I would have felt, like I said, I would have felt better about it, Rick, if the confirmation vote had been 60 to 40 or 61 to 39. But when I saw 58 to 42 and there were 42 votes there that could have stopped this madman.
That's right. They could have. I mean, I watched them all. I watched them all get up there and talk about how horrendous the rulings were and how he always sided with the government and always sided with the corporation and how terrible about the shooting the kid in the head. They all talk this crap and then go ahead and say, well, but in spite of all that, I'm not going to vote to go against him.
Well, and I'm very concerned about this agreement that came out of the rule out of the Gang of 14. This business that we won't filibuster any judges unless it's an extreme circumstance.
Yeah. Well, how do you define that extreme circumstance if this wasn't one of them?
Well, I thought at the time that the ruling that the agreement was made, Rick, I thought, well, you know, that's pretty smart because that's kind of an amorphous thing. How do you define if you've got real Democrats, real fighting Democrats, an extreme circumstance is whatever we decide is an extreme circumstance.
Well, that's what you would think. But this was, if this was the prototype, I mean, Alito is the prototype for extremity.
Well, how can he not be extreme? I mean, this guy was promoted to the court for being a screw-up.
Like he said in that interview, how did I ever get here? And when he was referring to the hearings. You know, he got there because of, you know, the thing with his lawyer. Bush's lawyer wouldn't float, so they turned around and named this nutcase so that he could appease all of his right-wing nutcases. I mean, it's so obvious. Right now, Tweety here on MSNBC, he's got this, him and his gang of thieves, the woman there and that nitwit.
Yeah, everybody but Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, the nitwit Tucker there and the other one. And they're telling you, they're writing their face about what the president's strategy is going to be. They're salivating how they're going to manipulate, how they're going to use half-truths, how they're not coming out and saying those things. They're just telling you what strategy is, and they're all of those things. And so I guess they tell you because they know most of America isn't watching, and then at least they've got the defense later on. Well, we told you what we were going to do. We told you we were going to lie to you. It's not our fault you weren't paying attention.
Snakes bite.
Yeah.
Snakes,
yeah.
That's what they, you know. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just, I watch this constantly, and I say to myself, well, I must be one of the 3,300 people that are watching this show, because the bulk of Americans can't be watching it, because if they did, they'd become mad that they're telling you how they're going to screw you. And yet, nobody gets angry. Nobody's paying attention. Anyway, that was item one. Lastly.
Yeah.
I came up in talk radio. As a matter of fact, I used to be in the business long ago. But I came up in talk radio from the right end of this thing. I was one of those persons that started voting. Who was it? I can't remember my first vote other than Reagan, but I know I voted for somebody else before that. But anyway, I was one of those types of people, and I was very, conservative middle person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have since morphed to become like a Finnish Democrat. I mean, I've even voted Libertarian. Hell, I voted for Harry Brown, for Pete's sake. I voted for Rod. Oh, what was the crazy guy from Texas?
No, yeah.
Ross Perot.
I
voted for even for him. So I've
before been, the Martians took him home.
Yeah, right. So I've been through this whole transition. And my point is all along the way, I remember the militias. They're running around out in the woods in Iran, all the talk radio programs, and they were going to save the Constitution.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Remember?
Sure.
They bought weapons and MREs, and they were every weekend in there on every radio show, and boy, oh, boy, they were going to offend our Constitution from the Clintons. Interestingly enough, you never hear from these fellas anymore.
Yeah, all these guys, you know, they think that their guy is in. They don't realize that George Bush is a bigger threat to their right to keep and arm bears than any Democrat has ever been.
Absolutely, but more so, I think it goes deeper than that. I think they are so sated in by what's happening, and this is what they wanted right along. Because these people had a tendency, regardless of what they said, to be separatists. They had a tendency to always be on the fanatical fringe of the right. I honestly believe that they are getting what they wanted, a totalitarian, militaristic police state.
And, well, more than that, I mean, there are some, it's kind of hard for me to admit, that there are some people on that side of out on that fringe, that have some political savvy, Rick, and I think they understand what I understand, and that is that these Bush thugs, there's nothing American or patriotic about them. It's the Norquist movement. It's the let's drown America's government in the bathtub. They want, you know, they want the revolution to come.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had many occasions to speak to them. I've even spoke to Randy Weaver, and I will tell you that the ideology that runs in them, there's always these core principles. And whether it's the upcoming race war or the breakdown of society so they can set morality and their church ideas into play. But the fact that these people are so silent now, that silence is deafening, to use a cliche.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that every person that had to suffer through listening to the interviews and listening to all this malarkey should put it right back in their face now about how they just used all patriots. I mean, they promised militias. They promised bunker babies. They promised zero squads. We will do all of these things to protect your right, they would say to me and others. But here the Constitution is being shredded right before their very eyes, and where are they? Quiet as church mice.
Yeah, nowhere to be found.
Yep. And so it's just, it's like, you know, it's an old dog. It's beating an old horse, rather. But it's just, I wanted to make that point in case people had forgotten or just hadn't had time to think about the militias. All of that rhetoric, and here it is, the Constitution being literally put into a shredder, and they are just as a coward that I believe they were.
Yeah, and the thing is, they will surrender. You know, when it comes time, when the Patriot Act is reauthorized, Rick, and when you know, when it's time to turn their guns in, they will be. Oh, okay. Well, we can trust these people.
Yeah.
And they'll turn in their 19 round semi-automatic 300 mags and their banana clip Glocks. You know, they'll just go and hand them right over.
Yeah, for a Department of Homeland Security issue, because these, in my opinion, are the people, the same types that run the programs. These are those types just waiting for their moment to make sure that all their hatreds are legalized. And I just believe that they're the kind that would sign up for the Gestapo movement at the drop of a hat.
Well, Rick, when you get a second, look at that quote from Samuel Adams on the front page at WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Oh, sure.
Those are the people you're talking about.
That's and if I'm offending any militia people tonight, I'd like to say I'm sorry.
But you're not.
But until you prove otherwise, pallies, I'm not.
No, and I don't think there's any apology called for. Awfully good hearing from you, Rick. You always bring a lot to the table, and we sure do appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, and keep going strong. I just love your show.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
See you later, pal.
All right, and a quick break, and we'll be back. You know the phone number, of course. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email's easy, too, bob@headonradio.com. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
7 seconds may we use. So you say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for Tom's legislation. Thanks for calling. Wait on my calls like
Let's go. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Man, it's like clockwork sometimes. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. During the break, I went to check email. Just like Rick said, there it was. Dear Bob, yesterday 25 Democratic senators joined our effort to filibuster the Alito nomination. That's more votes to filibuster the Alito nomination than there were votes against Justice Roberts' nomination itself just a few months ago. This morning, 42 senators voted. Now, I can't stand to listen to me doing my John Kerry impression. This morning, 42 senators voted against Alito's nomination. That's the highest number of votes against any Supreme Court nominee since Clarence Thomas in 1991. And hey, boys and girls, Clarence Thomas is on the court, screwing America with every opinion. Senator Kerry says, "It's hard to lose." John Kerry walks into a bar. There's a horse there who's the bartender. The horse bartender looks at John Kerry and says, "Why the long face?" It's hard to lose, but it's important to fight for what we believe in. I want to thank the hundreds of thousands of you who signed our petitions, called your senators, wrote letters to the editor, and most important, refused to stand silent while President Bush worked to pack the highest court in the land with far-right ideologues. Kiss my butt. You know, I mean, no, it was important what went down. What the Young Turks got started, and what Tom Hartman and Mike Malloy and Brad Friedman and I and Peter B. Collins and everyone who participated in that effort, by listening, by emailing, by calling senators, it was important. I will not step back from that, and I will not sell it short. It was important. But at the end of the day, another thug is on the court. Do you realize that there is maybe one real liberal on the Supreme Court? Because, and this is, well, it's just me, but being a legal, you know, like a lawyerly liberal is different from being a boots-on-the-ground liberal. Because something happens to your brain. And so, you know, a lot of the things that you and I regard as liberalism or the things that we hold dear, you know, a lawyer can say, well, you know, that comes, that goes, you know. And you get the court has swung to the right and someday it'll swing to the left because it's all just a pendulum. They love their little pendulum theory in law school. The pendulum is not going to swing back to the left. For starters, the pendulum has never been to the left. It's like a pendulum with half an arc. It goes over to the center, and then it starts back to the right again. It's never... Don't kid yourself, daggummit. It has never been to the left. If we had had a court with any leftward leanings whatsoever, we would have, God knows, we might have universal health care. If we had ever had a court that had swung to the left, we wouldn't be having a debate in the 21st damn century about whether or not we're going to create a class of second-class citizens. Based on what they do with each other when the light goes out, or whether two dudes want to pick out a China pattern. The court has never been to the left. Don't jerk my... You understand? I got to quit saying that. Because that's insulting. I hate being asked if I understand. If I don't understand, by God, I'll tell you. But the court has never been to the left. Now, the right-wing ideologue, well, what about a Warren court? Jesus, Earl Warren was a Republican. He was about as far from being a lefty as what? It's a different ideological viewpoint is all. It's not, we've never had any raging commies on the court. We've never had anything approaching a committed socialist on the court. So please, careful, Bob. When you hear people talking this stupid bug spray about how the pendulum theory and about how, we'll have a leftist court someday, just look them in the eye and tell them you were born at night, not last night. Tell them your mama didn't raise no dummies. Now, what we did have you got to go and read some of this stuff, and God knows it's boring enough in the attempt in many, many instances. But go back and read, 1905, read the Lochner decision. Read the Lochner decision that said forming a union, in this case I think it was Baker's, Lochner versus New York, something like that. But that case, the Supreme Court held that forming a union violated people's freedom of association. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's where the eyes roll back in the head. Really. And that's the twisted kind of logic. Stories about Alito. Where is it? There was one of those lines in there that just drove me nuts. Talking about what a brilliant man he was. Everyone acknowledged he was brilliant, despite the controversy. Yeah, here it is. Judge Samuel A. Alito, Jr., who has been widely praised for his intellect and integrity, but both admired and assailed for his conservative judicial philosophy. This is from the New York Times. Now, I'm not going to sit here and read to you. I'll leave that to somebody else. But this notion that he is brilliant. No. What he is very talented at expressing torturing statutes and philosophies in order to make them sound the way he needs them to sound. That's not brilliance. Among other things, yeah, Agnes, that's evil. It's sociopathic. It's ugly. It's hateful. This man, I should probably get away from it because, it's done. It's done. But he was promoted to the Supreme Court bench solely and exclusively because of his ability to look at ordinary facts of life and turn them into nasty things. His ability to look at a simple warrantless search case where you just go, hey, the warrant was invalid, you violated, get out of here, it's over. That's all you had to do. That's more or less what the Skeletor, Michael Chertoff, when he wrote the opinion in Doe v. Grudy, that's what he did. He said, this is garbage, get it out of here. But no, Samuel Alito twists and turns and creates straw men and false scenarios and comes around, the warrant was cool, grope the kid again. That's what this guy has been put up there for. And no, it's not all going to go to caca the minute he puts the robe on. It will be a while hearing from him. But it won't be too long because, the Ninth Circuit struck down a partial birth abortion ban the other day. These five states want to ban abortion in all instances save for the life of the mother. Not the health of the mother, but the life of the mother. And that makes all the difference in the world. That's going to be their test ground. And that's where they're really going to start watching Sam Alito make his money.
Well, Bob, I was born in a Catholic hospital.
Yeah.
And there, they don't care if the mother's dying or not. They will do whatever they can to save the child. They will let the mother die.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of wonder if it's going to start going that way.
Yes, it is going to start going that way. We have.
They're not going to worry if.
Darling, we got one of the highest infant mortality rates in the so-called civilized world. A baby has a better shot of living past birth in Cuba, for Christ's sakes, than it does in the United States.
I know that. So. You know where and you said something about getting away from it a while ago. When has the Republicans ever gotten away from Bill Clinton? Still to this day, they're blaming him over a blue dress for everything that's happened since. Now, the last time I checked, these guys are supposed to be in charge. What kind of people is it that blames everyone else for their mistakes and says, I'm being good and I'm doing what I think's right?
Irresponsible. Well, psychos.
Psychos. That's
sure.
Right.
But I hate language, Lane. Admirers and critics have predicted that Samuel Alito will do just that. That he will tilt the balance of the court to the right. Horse hockey! The court's balance is already tipped to the right. It's not tipped, it's... I don't have the geometric language for what it is. Yeah, right. Yeah, you could roll a marble down and it rolls right. You set a marble on it, meep. So, you know, what's done is done. Impeachment is a possibility, but you know, unless he gets caught in the middle of K Street with a dead girl or a live boy, and even then he'll have his defenders. And I got it. And what is it? Have they sworn him in already? Are we going to be forced to watch him walk into the into the House chambers this evening, along with all the other right wing glitterati? I don't know. And so much is going to depend on this. Robert Menendez said yesterday, it's not where you come from that matters, but where you will take the nation. And we had 42 votes. No, we could have stopped him. But of course, the real politic in this is, and I'm sorry, I hope I'm not going to bum anybody out by doing this. If you filibuster Alito and you stop him, what did we expect to gain from that? We stopped Alito. Are we under the impression that there was only one right-wing freak judge suitable to be nominated to the Supreme Court? No. You stop Alito and you get who? I mean, there are more right-wing freak judges in this country than there are anything approaching liberal judges. I mean, we stop Alito, we get another one. Let's go to the phones real quick. Our buddy Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Okay, I guess.
You're making a good case out of everything, but... I think thing tonight just going to be another one of these promises of no child left behind. What equates out to that?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a bunch of hollow rhetoric. It's going to be a bunch of crap, really. I mean,
yeah. And you know, I heard today, pardon me, I heard today that how he was going to fix it to where we could catch up with China. You know, in
oh, I know.
He's got the idea for that. But, you know, the way to do it is just ask us to work for 29 cents an hour. Or they could bring back the jobs that he's done let get over there, plus a couple of the countries that they're at.
Well, you know, the only way we get the jobs back from China is if we start paying workers less than what workers make in China.
That's right. And you know what? It ain't all China. It's the capitalists or the big fat daddies of this country that's put that work over there. It ain't all. China wouldn't have it if this country didn't want them to have it. And
yeah.
That's where your corporations tie into George Bush. He allows all this stuff to happen.
Yes, he does. And, you know, I remember way back when most favored nation, permanent most favored nation status was granted to China. And that was just, that was a horrible mistake. Because, you know, we weren't, we couldn't hold the, we couldn't do the carrot and the stick with them anymore and you know, hold their feet to the fire on human rights. We've lost, oh, Ed, we can't begin to express the things that this nation has lost under George Bush. We lost our right to say anything to any other nation about how they treat their people.
Yeah, well, a good example is the way that we bombed,
Pakistan, sure.
Pakistan. I mean, if we can do that, we're nothing but raiders. We're, you know, they should call him Quantrill or something.
Good point.
It's just open season on anybody that that disagrees or don't like him. And I listened to a program the other night. I can't remember the biggest of them that goes back to about 1903 or more on people that belong to stuff like the skull and bones and the Trilateral Commission. You wouldn't believe at the numbers of these different organizations, and all of them are aimed in the same direction. And the guy that was really knowledgeable on it talked about that every one of these commissions lean toward Nazi Germany.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there were we had lots of appeasers. When the United States was entering World War II, we had Republicans all over the place criticizing the fact that we were doing so. But you know, if a Democrat criticizes George Bush for starting a war, well, you're an American.
Yeah, Bush bashing.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, I'd like to.
I know. Yeah, don't get yourself in trouble, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to really tell him up front his teeth, because he's nothing but a little coward anyway. He's plenty good at sending our boys over and getting them butchered up like that, but he was too mealy to even make the National Guard.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Cheney. That's what we got, you know. Yeah, send them over, put a target on their back. But not for my kids, you know. That's his attitude.
Right.
But I was just, I don't know if I can stand to listen to him except to see what points that he thinks he can build on. Of course, I know the fear factor will be there. You know, if we don't do this, then the terrorists will be down our shirt collar.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if one other thing that he's got can build on. And as far as the oil and so forth like that, he could already done something about that. And there's no use of he'd never convince me that he's got an energy policy that's going to make it better for our people. And why is he waiting to do all these promises that he's going to make tonight until the State of the Union address? Why ain't he doing it instead of running his mouth about it?
Well, because he can't, and he has no intention to. Ed. Oh. This is a lie fest. This is ginned up. This is fake. This is carnival hucksterism. This is wrestling.
Yeah, but don't be fooled about him being a big dummy. He's got that too on his own, but they've got a plan. He's programmed to do what needs to be done, and according to the corporations and all these commissions. So, as dumb as he might be, and as big a failure as he is as a person, he's still programmed by bigger people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He absolutely is.
That's a part that's so stinking repulsive to me, is that he's doing this for, you know, on other people's words. And
well, you know, there was a headline out today, Exxon runs up record $36 billion profit.
Yeah, 36 point billion.
Yeah, guess who George Bush is working for.
Yeah. Well,
it's not complicated.
It's just scandalous. That's all. I mean, I watched another program, and that's what it was called, was Scandals, and talked about the different stuff that's going on. And I won't hardly, you know, you've got one program on there at Lou Dobbs, and I know he's Republican, but he's got more guts than, you know, since Dan Rather, we don't have anything, and we didn't have 100% then.
Well, you know, it's a sad state in the nation when the best news program in the country is at 11 o'clock at night and it's on a comedy channel. You know, The Daily Show, Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
There are more facts and there is more truth in that program. That and the Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
I haven't watched him.
Oh, that's the show.
Where do you get him on?
MSNBC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what, 8 o'clock, I think?
Night?
Yeah.
8 o'clock at night. Well, he's on now then.
Yeah, he is.
Well, I just want to make a few comments and let you know that...
Well, we sure do appreciate it, Ed. Sometimes it's tough to really give vent to all of this because there's so much of it and it's so evil. It is so unmitigatedly, patently evil that you find yourself almost at a loss for words, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's between depression and disgust. It gives you a lot to work from, don't it?
It sure does. Ed, you take care, and always good hearing from you. And give our best regards to your lovely wife.
All right, Ian. Thank you, Bob.
Uh-huh. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
That's our pal Ed from here in Fayette County. A lot of truth in his words. Let's roll on and talk to Gene in Oregon. Hey, Gene, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm getting along, I guess.
That's good. Well, I can't watch George Bush tonight because there isn't enough alcohol in the house to watch him.
I know the feeling.
So, but anyway, you said something, you know, you kind of gotten the point with what was the point of the whole filibuster thing a couple minutes ago about all this thing. And I thought to myself, well, this is funny that I'd be talking about this. If we had one, then people probably would have really flocked to the, you know, all the more quiet liberal folk out there that have kind of said, well, I'll just kind of keep my head low.
Mm-hmm.
Would have just, you know, flocked to the question and get rid of the guy.
Well, maybe it would have motivated people.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, on the other hand, the Bush administration said, well, okay, we'll work that much harder. I don't know.
But, I mean, the point I was trying to make, Gene, is that we have to bear in mind that these aren't skirmishes. These aren't battles. This is a daggum war. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, if we had stopped Alito, we would have had to have found the courage and the guts and the gumption to stop the next freak and the next freak until he nominated someone in the center.
That's true. But I don't know. The other thing I was going to mention is we talked about what we were going to do, and I got to thinking about it. Well, I don't think we could take on the Republicans directly. I think we could probably get rid of that stupid DLC guys. Because I was thinking if we really ran against the DLC folks in the primary and kind of bled their coffers dry, even if we lost, then maybe eventually the Republicans would say, you know, we're not going to support them because it's my view that, you know, the DLC are getting their money off in the same place anyway.
Well, in large part, I mean, that was the success of the DLC, was being able to finally tap the coffers of the corporatists.
Yeah, and maybe if we work hard enough, maybe the corporatists will just say, well, this is a lost cause anyway. And then we could get the party back. And it wouldn't be that way. That's what I was thinking. I don't know if I'm...
Well, no, I guess there's a possibility there. But if you want to drain the coffers of the DLC, the thing to do is to quit sending money to DLC Democrats.
Well, that's true. But
again, there's your conundrum, because a lot of people were proud of John Kerry for starting the filibuster. John Kerry is a DLC Democrat, plain and simple. So is Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird. In this filibuster fight, we saw some of the DLCers step up.
Yeah.
I don't have any answers here, Gene, because I'm as confused as the next guy.
Well, Well, like I told Agnes, boy, do I feel like I want to succeed right now. But anyway, that's another rant. I just had to kind of throw that to you.
Well, I appreciate it, Gene.
Yeah.
Hang in there, brother. We're going to find a way. I don't know what that way is yet. As quick as I figure it out, I'll share it. But
yeah, well, I'm sure we will. The other thing I had to do, since I can't watch Mr. Bush tonight because of no alcohol, do you know where I can get it in transcript form on the internet?
Pardon?
Do you know where I can get his speech in transcript form?
Oh, yeah, the transcript will be at whitehouse.gov. Probably the minute the speech starts, it'll be at whitehouse.gov.
Okay, so I got to watch out for keys and the odd quick editing. So
yeah,
anyway, I'll see if I can find it. So thanks.
Okay, you have a great night.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, let's take a quick break. It's time for our Cup of Joe report for the evening with our good buddy Joe Vecchio. What do you think? I mean, are you gonna watch? I guess we're gonna. I'll regret it, but we're gonna. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. A lot of people are pissed off that we lost the vote on cloture, clearing the way for Judge Alito to sit on the Supreme Court, but I think those of us who look at the world through non-rose-colored glasses understood what an uphill battle it was. In the movie Chicago, lawyer Billy Flynn explained that the case is usually won or lost before the trial even begins, and I think this was just one of those instances. I'm not happy we lost this fight, but I was happy to see the Democratic leadership respond to the growing influence of those of us on the net. We may have lost, but we went down fighting. That may not seem like much, but it's as good as we could have hoped for under the circumstances. Instead of hanging our heads, we should hold them high. We're standing up for what's right, and we're giving the party of Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Kennedy a badly needed kick in the ass. No pun intended. Since we live in an age where everything seems to happen in an instant, we don't always recognize the fact that some things just take time. We get our hopes up over big battles where we face impossible odds, and when we lose, we think the end of the world is near. But even though a battle is lost, the war is far from over. We're only the beginning of a vast movement, and even if we had won yesterday, there would still be a lot left to do. So be proud of yourselves and keep on fighting. Our day is coming. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
thanks for hanging around. Hope you're enjoying yourself as much as I am, and even in confusion. There's a comfort in the comradeship. Our friend Benedict at Large let me know during the break that something like 19. Let me look here. Yeah, 14 of 19 Democratic votes for cloture were DLC. 6 of 25 Democratic votes for filibuster were DLC. So that tells you. That says a boatload. An email from our pal David in South Carolina. Tonight, Bush is going, the subject of the email, blame the victims. Tonight, Bush is going to blame us for the high oil prices. Exxon or any of the big oil companies with record profits have nothing to do with the rising prices. He won't mention how he cut all the tax incentives for alternative energy. He says, please hurry up with the rubber bricks. Any engineering or design types out there? I promise, we'll give you full credit and we'll find a charity to give the proceeds to. Let's sell rubber bricks and give the proceeds to Ben Birch at White Rose Society. How's that sound? That would work. But yeah, I'd love to have those. I'd love to heave a rubber brick at the computer monitor as we watch this nightmare unfold tonight. And David is right, because one of the advanced things. Last I checked, they were on revision number 31. I guess we're supposed to be impressed that they screw the speech up 30 times. You know, this is like, you know, Heinz 57 varieties. You know, what's wrong with the first 56? Or Maxwell House coffee, good to the last drop. What's wrong with the last drop?
There is no last drop.
No, seriously though, some of the drafting for the speech indicates that he's going to say, and you know, wow, this is makes me feel weird. 3 years ago, I was saying that we had an addiction to oil that was akin to heroin. It is. It's our national heroin. And here on January the 31st, 2006. The last day of January, the last day of the first month of January, George Bush is going to tell us tonight that we have an addiction to foreign oil. Well, you know, he should know something about addiction. He's an old cokehead. He's an old drunk. That's probably not even a dry drunk anymore. He should know from addiction. So we're going to be told, yeah, David, you're absolutely right. It's our fault. Us damned addicts. And he's going to say that, America's future lies in alternative energy sources. Before you green types and you environmental types fall out of your chairs thinking that he's gotten on board. No, of course not. Don't delude yourself. You understand that when he talks about alternative energy sources, one of the things he means is nuclear power. It's an excuse to build nuke plants. It's also an excuse to blow up Appalachia and the hell with the ancient cultures that live here. Up the hollers and on the hillsides, in the narrow little valleys where the streams run, we are expendable for George Bush's energy future. So, no, it's not going to be about wind power. God knows it's not going to be about geothermal. It's not going... We're not going to put French fry oil into our diesel-powered automobiles anytime soon. Nah. That's not that. This is going to be... And, you know, it's not like we don't know. It's not like we didn't see it coming. I mean, you're the intelligent people. You know a con when you see one. We have, and who knows? You might even hear the thing that we hear so much here in Appalachia. We have 200 years of reserves of coal under the Appalachian Mountains in the coal fields of West Virginia and Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is a huge honking lie, too. So, you know, but there won't be any mention of this story. ExxonMobil Corporation has posted record profits for any U.S. company, $10.71 billion for the fourth quarter and $36.13 billion for the year, as the world's biggest publicly traded oil company benefited from high oil and natural gas prices and solid demand for refined products. That certainly is a fine and fancy little statement there, isn't it? Not much truth in it either. Yeah, they've got $36.13 billion for the year. Benefited from high oil and natural gas prices. No, those are the prices they passed on to us. If there wasn't a scam operating in here somewhere, they wouldn't have this profit margin, now would they? If there wasn't a con operating in the heart of all this, this could not happen. You know, great day in the morning. What did oil prices go up to per barrel? And then they eased back a little bit, but we really didn't see that at the pump, did we? Now, Senator Barbara Boxer, she's calling on the Bush administration and the Federal Trade Commission to put an end to gouging. God love you, Barb. That's like telling a kiddie porn producer to put an end to diddling. Well, it is. And frankly, there's not a hell of a lot of difference between a kiddie porn producer and ExxonMobil, is there? I mean, they're both in the same business, aren't they? Exploitation. Exploitation of the innocent. In the name of ExxonMobil, hell, we send CIA drones over peasant villages in sovereign nations like Pakistan and slaughter. Slaughter innocents. I was over at Democratic Underground. I found a link to a commercial. You can go see it. Of course, no American network would run it. It was urging support for the UN's landmine eradication program. And it showed a bunch of happy little American girls running around playing soccer when one of them steps on a stray mine and... Agnes saw it and jumped out of her skin. It was moving. No one will run that in America, but of course in the name of people like ExxonMobil and Halliburton and KBR, hell's bells, it's not landmines, we drop the damn J-dams right on top of little children. How many Americans think of the dead people involved when they're pumping their gas? I guess I'm a weirdo because I do. We in this family have curtailed our driving and our traveling to an absolute bare minimum. An absolute bare minimum. A, because we don't have a bunch of money to throw around on gasoline, but B, because burning it uselessly, burning it for no good purpose. Yeah, I know the environmental impacts. I'm thinking of the human cost right now. Every time you go to the pump, somebody died for that. Somebody not even connected with the production process died for that. Top Gun pilots of the United States Navy roared off of their aircraft carrier decks and bombed civilians in Iraq for that.
He's not supporting the troops. That's un-American.
Baby, I may be the most American person you've ever run across. Speaking to the right-wing freaks who lurk about and listen to this program. I don't approve of my nation murdering in my name for oil. I don't approve of people being tortured in my name for oil, or the control of oil, or the access to oil. We're ginning up a war with Iran again over oil.
Now, it's because they might nuke Israel. No, they wouldn't.
Nobody's going to nuke Israel. One, the fallout would kill a bunch of Arabs. No kidding. I mean, I'm not being that they would be killing their own people. Nuclear devices are not precision instruments. There's no smart nuke. Iran is no threat to Israel. They'd have to get across Iraq first. They'd have to get across... But you understand. But we're going to gin up a war with Iran. And we're going to kill some more people for oil. And George Bush is going to tell us tonight that it's our fault. This horrifying little nightmare of a human being is going to tell us that it is our damned fault that he started a war and that he wants another one.
Yeah, but you can set up a health care savings account.
Oh, eat me, George. Just makes me want to... Well, but you know what it makes me want to do. 36.13 billion dollars. John Felmy, chief economist for the American Petroleum Institute, said today or yesterday that the political rhetoric was not a case based on fact. We invested somewhere in the
order of $86 billion last year. Then we have to treat investors appropriately. Otherwise, we'd have the Elliot Spitzers of the world coming after.
Oh, hell's bells, it's a liberal Democrat's fault. Who knew?
Elliot Spitzer would come after us. Ooh, we go to sleep. You know, mommies call their little oil executive babies in from the... Come on in, honey, or the Spitzer boogeyman will get you.
I despise a liar. God, I despise a liar. The company's refining and marketing segment reported $2.39 billion in earnings as higher refining and marketing margins helped offset the residual effects of the hurricanes. Dig it. Exxon's revenue for the year. Now, this is one of those make the math work kind of things, because this is all about the foreign oil, yada, yada, yada. Exxon's revenue for the year exceeded Saudi Arabia's estimated 2005 gross domestic product of $340.5 billion, according to statistics maintained by the Central Intelligence Agency. That's not just the profit. That's everything. That's all the money Exxon made. Exxon made more money than Saudi Arabia. Let that rattle around in your noggin for a while. Gee. We continue to identify world-class projects, post-industry leading returns, and are well-placed for continued growth. Our record results show a disciplined approach, and we continue to deliver superior value to our shareholders. How many moms and pops are out there, you know, got you know, 10 grand in the mutual fund? And some of that is ExxonMobil stock. You know, these are the people that, give you the salt of the earth types, shirt off their back. Stop and help people change a tire on the side of the road. And then they own stock in a company that will kill and maim and destroy and do anything they have to do to make another buck. I mean, does it bother you at all? You know, are we going to get anything tonight out of the State of the Union? Are we going to get anything about the domestic spying?
I'm keeping you safe. It is necessary for me to spy on you so that I can keep you safe.
You know, I heard that from my parents when I was little.
Headline, feds want a wiretap back door in all net hardware and software. Have you run into this, you computer people? You understand this probably better than I do. An FCC mandate will require that all hardware and software have a wiretap back door that allows the government to tap into all your communications. Not on a Mac! The mandate expands the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. That's called CALEA, C-A-L-E-A. Hey, it rhymes with Scalia. The Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, it requires that every piece of hardware and software sold include this back door. Now, see, this is where if we were smart, we'd have the Doors' greatest hits into the library, and we'd bump with Jim Morrison screaming, "I'm a backdoor man," but we don't, so we won't. The rule isn't yet final, but once it is, all vendors will have 18 months to comply. And, in fact, says Brad Templeton, chairman of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, some router makers already include such a back door. So your hardware may already be at risk. And the writer of this a man by the name of Preston Gralla, he says... There are several problems with this rule. The first is the obvious massive intrusion into all of our privacy. Second, says Templeton of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, is the way that the rule will stifle innovation. According to the Washington Post, he says, Templeton does, that the rule, quote, will require that people get permission to innovate, would create regulatory barriers to entry, and he adds the FBI gets a veto on new companies. So much for the free market. Because, again, you are a bigger threat. You are a bigger threat to the Bush administration than anything Osama bin Laden has ever dreamt of. And, by the way, as an added bonus, if you have to build this back door, if that back door is required... Who's going to find that first? Let's just wonder. The NSA or the internet predators that are already out there, the people that like to dump spyware on your machine and viruses and so forth, you think they're not going to be all over that back door?
Yes, I do.
And George Bush said, well, you know, if you're calling Al-Qaeda, we want to know about it. What has that got to do with me, George? What's it got to do with my computer? You know, this is just an extension of the Google thing. This is... They don't want to know if you're going to kiddie porn sites. Who in their right mind would even hazard typing that one of those kind of addresses in their browser? Who in their right mind would go to Google and type in kiddie porn? Yeah, I mean, do you see my point? This has nothing to do with child pornography. And it has nothing to do with terrorism. It has to do with a nosy government that is hell-bent. You know, we talk from time to time. I keep mentioning it. You know, whether it's Dr. Strangelove or Catch-22 or, in this case, Mike Malloy's reading it every night, and it's really enjoyable, 1984, where in the book they're able to tell people what to do via the telecommunicator screen or the telescreen. I forget what the reference is. This is that. Building that into hardware so that the NSA, at a moment's notice, without a warrant, on nothing but a whim, can monitor every keystroke. Can have a nice long look at the cache of your cookies and see where you've been. And see if you're a subversive or a disruptor. You okay? I mean, our good friend Rick in Panama City, Florida, mentioned the militias. Are they going to be okay with that? You know, when a right-wing monkey, a freak like Bob Barr, suddenly finds himself a member of the American Civil Liberties Union, you'd think he'd bring a few people along with him, but I get this distinct sense that most of his old right-wing pals think old Bob finally went around the bend. Let's go to our good friend, speaking of Bob's, let's go to Bob in Butler, PA. Hey, you're head on.
Hey, sorry to usurp you so much here. It's like every darn night I'm calling.
No, it's okay, man. This is about conversation.
Well, okay, you know, just, you know, if somebody else calls, bump me or whatever, because, you know, I'm on all the time. So
first come, first served.
All right. Well, whatever. Anyway, you know, I was talking to your wife, and I said, you remember back in the 70s, right now you were talking about the computers, and they're going to bug them. Well, they used to bug the phones.
Sure.
They had the little silver buttons, about a nickel big and thicker. And if you unscrew
the mouthpiece.
Right. Yeah. Your wife knew about that, too.
I do, too.
I said, holy cow, here we go again. I wonder if these things are still in the phones.
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think the unscrew. Does anybody still use one of those unscrewable phones?
Oh, I'm sure somewhere. I don't know. I don't know that they didn't place them in the newer ones as well.
Well, that's true, and you can't even get access to those, Bob.
Well, I don't know. I can get access to it. I got a big hammer.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
But you know, but no, you know, and they could have changed the look of them. I mean, they're just a piece of electronic something or other, and they said, well, you know, if you disconnect it, you're going to mess up the long distance.
And of course,
that's what it's for. Well. And I was in the VVAW, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, back then, and so we did. We took it out, and then we called all over the country, and we called overseas, and there wasn't any, you know, I don't know. And then of course they'll come back.
And they're so much more sophisticated now that they don't require those little gizmos anymore, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Well,
this phone call is going through a database in somewhere within the national security structure we speak.
Oh, I know. You know, and I hope they're listening, because come get me. I want to be with my buddies in jail. You know.
Yeah.
I want to be with the people that believe like me. You know, if we all got to go to jail, let's go.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, it's the old, you know, when ball bats are outlawed, only outlaws will have ball bats.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not out here advocating killing anybody. I'm not going to kill anybody.
No.
But still.
I'm a peacenik.
Yeah, if you're going to lock me up for having free speech, come on. Come get
but
that, me.
Well, that's the point,
come
though, Bob.
Me.
We are the enemy. You're the enemy. I'm the enemy. People listening to this program are deemed by the Bush administration the enemies of the United States, because all in the world we want is to return this country to its senses and its roots in freedom, and that makes us dangerous.
I know.
Can you imagine that? I'm not dangerous because I got a house full of guns. I'm dangerous because I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like I said last night, you know, they're not about democracy or anything like that. They're about big time money, power, and it doesn't matter where they live. You know, they can, you know, if the United States goes under economically, they can just move and do their operations because their operations can go from anywhere. It doesn't have to come from this country.
Right.
So that's why they don't care about us. That's why it's, you know, and I've had people tell me, I said, they're not going to drink the water that's poison. No, of course they're not. If it gets so bad that they can't buy clean water in a bottle, then they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
They'll just move because they can.
Yeah, and
the world is theirs.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about the guys under the bridges last night. You know, where do they move, Bob? Another bridge?
Well, where do any of us move? You know, in that sense, we're all kind of locked up in that. But yeah, I mean, those people, they. I keep
my passport expired a while back, and I keep promising myself I'm going to go and get the passports lined up for me and the whole family in case the day does come.
Well, you know, you can't get into Canada now except as a visitor, unless, and this I got from the Consul General. There are four different categories to get into Canada as a potential citizen, not as a visitor, but as a potential citizen to immigrate. You either have to have a family member, primary family member, husband, wife, child, something like that there who is already a citizen. Or you have to be, oh, you have to have a job that they need you for.
Yeah.
High tech. Now, the other two are have to do with business. If you're doing business, you own a business or something in Canada, it's a Canadian business or something like that. That all has to do with business. But the first two, and I said, I don't need a job. I want to go up in 2 years and retire.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
Sorry. We don't have any such, thing that you can apply through.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Well, what about if I just buy property? Now, I have to get back to somebody else. I may have to go to a lawyer who specializes in this kind of thing and find out. If I buy property, can I just move up there and live there and, you know, maybe not be a citizen, but just, you know, get out of here, you know? And then I got other people saying, well, you know, you can't fight what's going on here if you're living there. Why not?
Sure, I hear Canadians calling into Malloy all the time.
Well, I mean, you know, if I'm still a U.S. citizen, I still vote.
Yeah, you haven't surrendered your rights.
Right, and yeah. And I've I can write congressman or whatever, and you know, so you can fight from anywhere, as long as you don't give up your citizenship.
Sure, and there are a lot of people that are pursuing the dual citizenship angle or aspect.
Didn't I remember there wasn't a such thing years and years and years ago?
That was what I always understood, but it exists now. I've got friends; they've got a little precious little baby boy, and he is dual American and German.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, Bob, let's see. Let's get a little volume going here. Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
Right here. Looks like the clapping has begun.
Oh, okay. I thought this was a movie about it. Oh no! What am I watching?
I don't know. I've got C-SPAN.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm lucky. I have it, but I'm not on it. I'm on something else that looks like.
Well, there. Condoleezza Rice is walking in right now. She's okay. Looking fabulous. I think she's got a new pair of shoes. And yeah, Alito, unless my eyes were failing me, Alito walked in with the Supreme Court.
Let me get this. Hang on.
Yeah.
I don't even know what C-SPAN. Oh, 46. Okay.
Yeah, C-SPAN 1.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Two suits standing there behind a beautiful mahogany, whatever, probably cost more than my house did. And, you know, nice wood grain and beautiful and everything and spotless.
Yeah, and that flag.
Oh, I see a piece of dust. Oh, my God, there's a piece of dust.
That flag ought to be flying upside down, too.
Oh, shoot, that's on my screen.
Bob.
That's like the gravy stain on my letter to Bird.
Condi's got a mustache. No.
See,
that's Michael Bolton.
Bob.
John Bolton.
There's Condi in her beautiful ivory linen suit that she had to mug a poor homeless woman for.
No, she didn't do it. She sent some gopher like us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she sent some gopher like us to, hey, you want to make a buck? I had a friend that moved down to West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to get into who, where, what, you know, but he lived in a small city or a large town.
That's pretty much anywhere in West Virginia.
Okay. And
because we don't have any big ones.
It was generally ruled by three or four big money people who lived up on a hill, and nobody could see them, and they couldn't see anybody. And so it snowed real hard, and he was out of work, and he went up to one of these places, and they had one of these big, long driveways, and he said, I need some money. Can I shovel your driveway? It was like a quarter of a mile long. And this poor guy's starving, and so is his family. And she said, yes, well, let's see. Maybe we could... And say, how much would you want? Well, being a good guy like he is, He says, well, whatever you think it's worth. She says, I'll give you a dollar.
Oh, my God.
A dollar.
A dollar.
You know, I still remember him calling me and telling me, oh, I...
Yeah.
Just, yeah, give me a dollar, and then I'll even let you smack me in the head with the shovel if you want. Would you like to do that, too?
Oh, God.
Just smack me in the head with...
Oh, what would we, hey, Bob, what would we do without conservatism in this country?
I'll bring my kids around, and you can smack them in the head, too, if you want. It only costs you two bits more.
Yeah, it's another quarter to hit the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeez. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, okay. we still got a lot of milling around in here. The sheep are cattle low, don't they? They're buying.
Oh, I don't know. Who's selling, who's buying, who's booing, who's purring. I just want to
see the Democrats sitting there being so strong in their disapproval by keeping their hands in their laps.
I can't watch this anymore. Listen, I'm gonna
All right, you take it easy, Bob.
Somebody else on the line.
All right.
I ain't got nobody, and I can set.
Now we're gonna crank up the volume and listen to this thing and start screaming at the screen here in a minute.
Let me get back online. All right.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye now. Let's see. Let's hear the noise out of this. You know, I remember doing theater in college and stuff. Back it off a little. And whenever there was a crowd scene, all the extras who were in the crowd were told to stand around and just mumble, peas and carrots and peas and carrots, peas and carrots, carrots and peas. And then one year we did something called the Tea House of the August Moon, and that had Asian crowd scenes. And the Asian crowd, you know, to make that sort of noise that you're hearing here right now, the Asian crowd had to say, you tie your shoe, I tie my tie, you tie my tie, I tie your shoe, you tie your shoe, I tie my tie, you tie my tie, I tie your shoe. And it makes an Asian crowd noise. So that's what you've got. A couple of thousand bureaucrats sitting there saying peas and carrots, carrots and peas, carrots and peas, peas and carrots, peas and carrots, carrots and peas. Well, I wish they'd get with it.
Actually, you have a bunch of bees on Xanax. That's the only thing that's going to get them through this night.
Well, it does kind of, yeah, it does kind of look like a beehive. And yeah, I saw Samuel Alito come in with the Supreme Court. Absolutely disgusting. Just sickening. Oh, here we go.
President of the United States.
Can you imagine applauding that fool? Back it off a little, honey. It's hot. Well, not hot, but yeah. Oh, we love you, George. Oh, God. What you're looking at here, if you're watching it, what you're hearing, if you're just listening, this is applause for the death of freedom. This crowd would try to clap while the nails were being driven in their hands while they were being crucified. Oh, my God. Are you clapping? Somehow I'm not clapping. Wait a minute. Is that John Rockefeller standing there? Eh, maybe not. Oh, did you see him? He just pointed the finger. You're doing a heck of a job. Oh, Jesus, there's Laura. Yeah, thanks for getting me my judge. I'm feeling real Unitarian right now. Why did they have to ruin a perfectly good faith by calling it the Unitary Executive? It's got to just make Unitarians across the world scream. Yep, there he is. He just shook hands with Alito. And he wore his robe and everything. Oh, Lord. Get up there and get with it, George. Haven't seen a good angle of his back yet. Does he have a little box in his suit coat? I don't know. He a jaunty little step as he mounts to the podium. Here we go. Smirk, you bastard. Wow, I haven't seen any committed Democrats not clapping yet. Had to change stations here.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil!
Again, they're clapping.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, Vice President Cheney, members of Congress, members of the Supreme Court, Diplomatic Corps, distinguished guests, and fellow citizens.
Harumph.
Today, our nation lost a beloved, graceful, courageous woman who called America to its founding ideals and carried on a noble dream.
A noble dream.
Tonight we are comforted by the hope of a glad reunion with the husband who was taken so long ago, and we are grateful for the good life.
Yeah, that black lady's dead, and I'm glad of it. You know that's what he's thinking. A hopeful reunion. Yeah, I said the same thing, but I meant it.
Every time Ditto. I'm invited to this
Ditto.
From,
Ditto, you provincial putz.
And mindful of the history we've seen together. We have gathered under this Capitol dome in moments of national mourning and national achievement. We have served America through one of the most consequential periods of our history.
Served America.
And it has been my honor to serve with you. In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate. But even tough debates can be conducted in a civil tone.
And our yeah, tell it to the Marines.
Cannot be allowed to harden into anger.
We're angry, George.
To confront
Trust
the great
us.
Issues before us, we must act in a spirit of goodwill and respect for one another.
You first!
And I will do my part.
No, you won't.
Tonight, the state of our union is strong.
No, it isn't.
And together, we will make it stronger.
No, we won't. Not as long as you're... No, George, see, it's not. That's not going to happen as long as you're starting wars!
In this decisive year, you and I will make choices that determine both the future and the character of our country. We will choose to act confidently in pursuing the enemies of freedom, or retreat from our duties in the hope of an easier life.
As honorary chair,
we will choose to build our prosperity by leading the world economy, or shut ourselves off from trade and opportunity. In a complex and challenging time, the road of isolationism and protectionism may seem broad and inviting, yet it ends in danger and decline.
Huh?
The only way to protect our people, the only way to secure the peace,
is to spy on your grandmother.
The only way to control our destiny is by our leadership, so the United States of America will continue to lead.
Time out. Lead what? Lead who? To where? Does this even mean anything? I mean, could he be up there reading Fox and Socks?
We seek the end of tyranny in our world.
Then resign, you bastard!
Some that goal is misguided idealism. In reality, the future security of America depends on it. On September the 11th, 2001, we found that problems originating in a failed and oppressive state.
One, little two, little three, little 9/11.
7,000 miles away could bring murder and destruction to our country. Dictatorships shelter terrorists.
They only brought murder and destruction to our country, you punk, because you were asleep at the switch. I hate you.
Democracies replace resentment with hope. Respect the rights of their citizens and their neighbors. And join the fight against terror. Every step toward freedom in the world makes our country safer, so we will act boldly in freedom's cause.
And if we kill a few little Muslim babies along the way, well, you know, if you want to build a house, you got to get your hands dirty.
A hopeless dream. The advance of freedom is the great story of our time. In 1945, there were about 24 lonely democracies in the world.
Lonely democracies.
Today, there are 122. And we're writing a new chapter in the story of self-government.
They were lonely. No one would dance
with
them.
With women lining up to vote in Afghanistan. And millions of Iraqis marking their liberty with purple ink.
Oops.
And men and women from Lebanon to Egypt debating the rights of individuals and the necessity of freedom. At the start of 2006, more than half the people of our world live in democratic nations.
That you haven't bombed
yet. Forget the other half. In places like Syria and Burma, Zimbabwe, North Korea, and Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the demands of justice and the peace of...
George, you mean those states that you joined up with to put your boot on the necks of the gay people at the United Nations? Is that the group you're talking about? Oh, clap, Rummy, you old murderer.
No one can deny the success of freedom, but some men rage and fight against it. And one of the main sources of reaction and opposition is radical Islam, the perversion by a few of a noble faith into an ideology of terror and death.
Oh, you mean like what your buddies have done with Christianity,
like
George?
They're serious about mass murder. And all of us must take their declared intentions seriously. They seek to impose a heartless system of totalitarian control throughout the Middle East and arm themselves with weapons of mass murder. Their aim is to seize power in Iraq and use it as a safe haven to launch attacks against America and the world. Lacking the military strength to challenge us directly, the terrorists have chosen the weapon of fear when they murder children at a school in Beslan. Or blow up commuters.
Yeah, it's only
in
bad
London.
If they're killing the children. You're killing the children, that's another thing, George. That's okay,
the
right?
The terrorists hope these horrors will break our will, allowing the violent to inherit the earth. But they have miscalculated. We love our freedom.
You know, you don't.
And we will fight to keep it.
We love our freedom. God hates a liar, George. Okay, here we go with the standing ovations. There went Bill Frist. I think I heard something go, meow. Now listen, if you want to get in on this, yeah, okay, hold on a minute. Let's see what's going on here. Hey, you're head on. Who have I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Ed.
Yeah, what's up, Ed?
I was just going to listen in. I listened to Bush all I can stand.
Well, we got him going here, too. Let me throw you on hold, all right?
All right, thank you.
Stand by. Okie dokie. No, seriously, if you want to get in on this and scream at the president with me, join up. Let other people hear how much we despise this man.
By allowing radical Islam to work its will, by leaving an assaulted world to fend for itself.
Salty world?
We would signal to all that we no longer believe in our own ideals.
With relish.
Or even in our own courage. But our enemies and our friends can be certain. The United States will not retreat from the world, and we will never surrender to evil.
God Almighty. Honest to God. Honest to God. What does that mean? We will never retreat from the world. I mean, is this the start of? Is this another announcement about a new space program?
America rejects the false comfort of isolationism. We're the nation that saved liberty in Europe.
Is that like the soft bigotry of diminished expectations? Or who writes this crap?
Once again, we accept the call of history to deliver the oppressed and move this world toward peace.
Send them to Jesus.
We remain on the offensive against terror networks. We have killed or captured many of their leaders.
And several children.
The others, their day will come.
And some wives.
We remain on the offensive in Afghanistan, where a fine president and a national assembly are fighting terror while building the institutions of a new democracy.
Inherit the earth.
We're on the offensive in Iraq with a clear plan for victory.
Really? Tell us.
We're helping Iraqis build an inclusive government.
Do we have to play 20 questions over this, George?
Will be eased.
What's the clear plan for victory in Iraq?
Second, we're continuing reconstruction efforts and helping the Iraqi government to fight corruption and build a modern economy so all Iraqis can experience the benefits of
freedom. Say it again, George.
And third, we're striking terrorist targets while we train Iraqi forces that are increasingly capable of defeating the enemy. Iraqis are showing their courage every day, and we are proud to be their ally.
Head on, who have I got?
Hey, it's Gene.
Hey, what's up, Gene?
Oh, you said listen, so what the heck?
Yeah.
It's brutal. But that brutality has not stopped the dramatic progress of a new democracy.
Oh, God.
In less than 3 years, the nation has gone from dictatorship to liberation to sovereignty to a constitution.
To the moon, Alice!
At the same time, our coalition has been relentless in shutting off terrorist infiltration,
really?
Clearing out insurgent strongholds, and turning over territory to Iraqi.
Am I hearing this all right, Gene? I mean, have I gone around the bend? I mean,
I am confident.
I don't know,
the
man.
People.
Every time I hear,
I am
it's
confident
like,
in the skill and spirit of our military forces in this fight to win.
Huh?
And we I just hear that Twilight music going right over here.
Yeah. Submitted for your approval. A moron becomes president.
Just,
Are they just all standing up now? I mean, is this like a football game where nobody gets to sit down?
I guess. Have any of them stood up?
It's kind of hard to tell. We're not really getting good camera angles.
Oh.
It's the road that will take our troops home. As we make progress on the ground and Iraqi forces increasingly take the lead,
where?
We should be able to further decrease our troop level.
Not in Iraq.
But those decisions will be made by our military commanders, not by politicians.
Gene, there's a new poll out that says about half of Iraqis now approve of killing U.S. troops. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did. I did. Is it any wonder?
And you know, more than half want a timetable. Now, we won't give them a timetable because that would be, helping the Al-Qaeda or something? Is that what George said?
Yeah.
But they want a timetable.
Mm-hmm.
Tactics and changed our approach to reconstruction.
We stopped.
Along the way, we have benefited from responsible criticism and counsel.
This makes me crazy.
Offered by members of Congress. In the coming year, I will continue to reach out and seek your good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's a difference between responsible criticism that aims for success and defeatism that refuses to acknowledge anything but failure. Hindsight alone is not
it's hard to acknowledge anything but failure when failure's all you're getting to acknowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can't. Somebody else can do one.
All right.
I can't hear him. I can't listen to him anymore.
Okay, Gene. We'll talk to you later.
Sure. Bye.
Later. Okay.
A sudden withdrawal of our forces from Iraq would abandon our Iraqi allies to death in prison. We put men like bin Laden and Zarqawi in charge of a strategic country.
Wait, stop it. Bin Laden and Zarqawi are coming to Iraq? Good. We can kill them. They couldn't hide anymore.
Option. We must keep our word, defeat our enemies, and stand behind the American military in this vital mission.
You got to remember, though, Saddam's own people put him in a hole for us to find.
Yeah.
So, you know, where's Waldo? Do you really think they're looking for him?
Oh. Poor Benedict at large. Where's my ice pick? I need my ice pick. It burns.
We're here for you, Benny.
Former making sacrifices and showing a sense of duty stronger than all fear. They know what it's like to fight house to house in a maze of streets, to wear heavy gear in the desert heat.
You don't, coward.
To see a comrade killed by a roadside bomb.
Not you.
And those who know the cost also know the stakes.
Saw a few comrades wiped out by bad tequila, maybe, but yeah, no, nothing else.
Was killed last month fighting in Fallujah.
Oh, here we go. Sob story.
He left behind a letter to his family.
Let's see who we got here.
But his words could just as well be addressed.
Hey, you're head on. Who have I got?
Every American.
This is Ben here.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, you know, Cindy Sheehan was supposed to be there watching this whole fun thing.
Yeah, I saw that cross. What happened?
She got arrested for wearing a T-shirt that had the number of U.S. war dead on it.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
Arrested for a T-shirt?
Yep.
We're arresting for T-shirts now, right?
Yep.
Truth hurts, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, pot it up. We can talk over them.
All right.
Staff Sergeant Dan Clay's wife,
yeah,
Lisa,
hard to
and his
talk
mom and
over him,
dad, Sarah,
been?
Joe, and Bud are with us this evening.
Oh, okay. Those are the people sitting with Laura.
So now he's gonna take, steal some glory from some U.S. soldiers, huh?
Yeah, dead ones.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Is Laura clapping, or is she just doing?
Well, here we go. I just got accused of hating the soldiers, Ben.
Aww.
Yeah, thank God for that ignore button.
I don't hate soldiers, just general.
Yeah, I hate it. They got all dressed up so they could come to the State of the Union and hear George Bush talk about how he got their father killed.
Now, wait a minute.
Or their brother, or their son, or their uncle.
You were accused of hating the soldiers, right?
Yeah, because I can't handle the truth.
Right, well, I know who accused you, and it's that person that can't handle
the
truth and doesn't support the soldiers, because if that person did, our soldiers would be coming home.
Darn sure won't be a soldier.
But stupidity is no excuse.
You know, I've still got his recruiting papers right here on my desk.
We'll have
I even filled them out partially for him. You just have to sign them.
Sweet.
Oh, another standing ovation, Ben.
Well, you know, when you eat too many beans, you have to stand periodically.
Now, that woman standing to the left of Laura does look like an Iraqi woman. I'm guessing we do get the purple finger here in a little bit.
Our offensive against terror involves more than military action.
Where do you have to stick your finger to get it purple?
I don't even want to think about it.
That's not allowed.
The last time something like that happened to me, I had to get massive shots of penicillin.
Oh, God! That was before we were married.
You hope it was before you were married.
It better be.
Ben, you're not helping again.
There's something that he's not telling me. See how things just kind of pop out?
The great people of Egypt have voted in the multi-party presidential election.
Oh, Egyptian democracy. This should be good, Ben.
Open paths of peaceful opposition that will reduce the appeal of radicalism.
Egyptian democracy reducing radicalism?
Good.
What
I'm glad.
What about all those leaders of Hamas that got slaughtered the other year?
Ah, well. Disarm. Reject statistics.
And work for lasting peace.
That kind of looks like radicalism to me.
Yeah, last I checked. Now that was an uprising of tour guides, Ben.
Oh, yeah. It was a labor action.
Right.
Therefore, it's labor union's fault.
It's always labor's fault.
Goddamn coal miners.
What are we going to do?
You know, the only trouble with all these coal miners is we need to remove all the mountaintops.
Now it can offer a
future by pressing forward with those efforts. Democracies in the Middle East will not look like our own, because they will reflect the traditions of their own citizens.
Beheading.
Yet liberty is the future of every nation in the Middle East, because liberty is the right and hope of all humanity.
Except in America.
Yeah.
Where you can't wear T-shirts.
With numbers on them.
The same is true of Iran.
I can't believe. And yeah, and you know, but remember, Alito got his seat greased by the religion industry, and that was okay.
Did they use Crisco?
God only knows.
And that must come to an end.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a. I haven't read the dogma on oil branding.
Well, you know, the way it used to. The way the world with its Ashcroft used, you know, Crisco oil.
Yeah.
You know, Crisco light cooking oil.
You're right.
Whereas, you know, had they actually gone according to biblical teachings, it would have had a few. There's actually a very specific recipe of oil in,
right.
Including essence of hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably would have improved Ashcroft's mood considerably.
By looking at Bush, I'd say that he's very familiar with that oil.
See, I'm convinced that Ashcroft's been on acid all along. I don't know if it would have done anything, Ben.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, no, I don't think Bush... Laura was the one who was selling dime bags in college.
That's right, Bush. Dime bag Laura.
Yeah, he was not into that. He was not into the, you know, into the downers. He wasn't into anything to mellow you. He was into beer, cigarettes, and cocaine.
Yeah, the stuff that makes you nice and mean.
Now I have heard a rumor that he was also into Special K.
Oh wow!
You know, animal tranks.
Oh, like what Ace Promazine and that kind of stuff.
Uh huh. Yeah, ketamine.
Ooh.
Well, that could say a lot for what's going on now.
Well, isn't PCP a horse trank?
Yes, it is. It's what they use to, you know, when they take your dog into the vet and he gives them the shot that the dog just sort of lays there and pants.
Yeah.
And doesn't seem to know that the vet is cutting his leg open to remove the piece of barbed wire.
Right.
That's ketamine.
Oh, okay.
It's a disassociative.
Well, disassociative? That makes sense.
Well, you know, if you look at Bush, if you know his little elfin ears, his slanty almond-shaped eyes, etc., he looks like fetal alcohol syndrome to me.
Yeah, he really does.
And if you take that and you combine it with, you know, years of alcohol abuse, you get a thing called Korsakov syndrome. You know, Korsakov's dementia, which, you know, causes you to stammer and causes you to use the same word over and over and not remember things and slur your speech.
Right.
Sends you into early dementia.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an ugly thing. And I suspect he may have the early signs of Korsakov because he's definitely started drinking again.
Well, you know, if you listen to him 10, 15 years ago, he didn't sound like this. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that... what was that? Can of Fun that has that breakdown? I can't remember. But yeah,
I've got some video of him from 10, 15 years ago. He did not sound like the asshat he sounds like now.
No.
Yeah.
Let's see. I just went to Brad Blog. Brad Blog's confirmed the arrest moments ago with David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org. According to Swanson, Sheehan was arrested for wearing the shirt she was wearing all day, which had the number of U.S. troops killed in Iraq.
Yep.
She was lifted out of her seat in the Capitol Chamber Gallery by the Capitol Police and taken away.
George was offended by it, Ben, because he can't count that high.
Well, and, he heard the two Brazilian soldiers were killed the other week in Afghanistan, and he said, "Oh my God, oh my God!" He turned pale and
started weeping.
He says, "How big is a Brazilian?"
God, I love that joke.
Oh.
Let's see. Swanson said, "This is not the Park Police. We're used to getting arrested by them. This was the Capitol Police. She didn't even want to go to the speech. She said she couldn't stand to listen to Bush." But she went. She didn't even protest. She was just wearing the same T-shirt she'd been wearing all day, a black shirt with the number of troops killed. It was already out of date, and she had to add three more to the previous number. It just had a damn number on it, Ben.
Yep.
Numbers are now terror.
And one of those numbers was her son.
Yeah.
So she was arrested because she was paying tribute to her son.
Well, you see, you know, there are the good soldiers' families and the bad soldiers.
Yeah, the good soldiers are there tonight, I guess.
I think it's the Gestapo that's fighting against the good soldiers. We're not anti-truth.
No.
Our government is.
We want to see them come home and go back to their job.
Yeah, if they're able.
And I want to see them. I want to see us actually have our military back again. You know, we don't have more than
Oh, they're showing Alito right now, Ben.
One Abrams tank now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, they took all the high water vehicles to Iraq.
Yeah.
That was one reason we didn't have it here when Katrina hit.
But now, our M1 tanks are coming back as scrap.
Oh, gee.
You know, they were designed for 700 hours of total combat use.
Right.
Because we figured that if the balloon went up, that's all the time World War III would take.
Right.
Right.
Well,
here we go.
Used up.
Well, you know, this isn't a war.
You know, it's interesting, Ben. This was supposed to be like a 38-minute speech.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't even gotten to the health care savings accounts or the energy addiction, unless I missed it.
The only alternative to American leadership is a dramatically more dangerous and anxious world.
Didn't American leadership cause...
Oh, isn't that a threat against the whole world right there?
I think so.
...that gave us birth. American leaders from Roosevelt to Truman to Kennedy to Reagan rejected isolation and retreat.
Oh, don't even put Roosevelt in your mouth.
Because they knew that America is always more secure when freedom is on the march.
None of those men started a war.
Okay, I want to do a freedom is on the march drinking game next time.
Yeah.
A war that will be fought by presidents of both.
Sort of like Hi Bob?
Yeah.
We'll need steady bipartisan support from the Congress. And tonight I ask for yours. Together, let us protect our country, support the men and women who defend us, and lead this world toward freedom.
It really is 1984, isn't it, Ben?
It is. This is all newspeak.
War is peace.
Supporting our troops means killing them.
Oh, God. Just, oh, God. Okay, they're sitting back down.
Here at home, America also has a great opportunity.
I haven't seen this much stand-up, sit-down, clap, clap, clap since I went to math.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know what we'll do for the Radio Power replay tomorrow, Ben, but if this thing goes over 10 o'clock, we're not leaving it.
Okay, no problem.
America has created 4.6 million new jobs, more than Japan and the European Union combined.
Oh, okay, this is his economic success. You know, the new minimum wage jobs.
Yeah.
Even
delightful.
In the face of higher energy prices and natural disasters.
You see, it's really easy to create jobs when you decimated them a couple years before.
Right. He's still at net negative job loss from the Clinton presidency.
And what's more, the number of people who have entered working years has gone up.
Right.
Much faster than quote unquote this job growth.
Which makes it easier to feed people's fears. So we're seeing some old temptations return.
Temptations.
Protectionists want to escape competition, pretending that we can keep our high standard of living while walling off our economy.
Oh, so we can't
Others
keep our high standard
the government
of living.
Needs to take
That's
a larger
what
role
I'm taking him to say, yeah.
Economy, centralizing more power in Washington and increasing taxes. We hear claims that immigrants are somehow bad for the economy, even though this economy could not function without them.
Read Mexicans. I don't hate Mexicans, Ben. Do you hate Mexicans?
No, not at all.
These people do.
I live on a whole street corner. Well, half the street anyway.
Yeah. Hey, I think we got somebody else that wants to join in and have some fun. Let me put you on hold for a couple minutes,
all
okay,
right.
Ben? Stand by.
In the same direction toward a stagnant and second-rate economy.
Hey, you're head on. Who have I got?
Tonight I will set out a better path.
Hey, it's John Fox down in Sydney. How you doing?
Hey, John. How are you?
Besides from Ben absolutely making me bend over laughing. oh, man, the purple finger thing, I just couldn't handle it. But can I please just remind everyone, one of the first things he mentioned, you know, aside from 9/11, was the London bombings. Can we please remember that when they played their little political game of releasing, you know, certain CIA operatives' names, that MI5 was 2 days away from picking up the ringleader of that bombing.
That's
and
right.
What he was going to do, and it's because of Bush's little games that MI5 lost him, and it's because of Bush that bombing actually succeeded.
That's right.
God,
that's tragic, John.
It was one of the first things I heard, and I'm just going, you
bastard! I can't stand it.
Well, you know, at the end of his email to us, our buddy David in South Carolina said, hurry up with the rubber bricks.
Well, yeah, I actually remember those from Ohio. They actually referred to them as cardiac bricks from memory because it was when the football team there always won in the last 2 minutes and the heart attack rate was way off the charts on Sunday afternoons, so the team actually started sending foam bricks out to the fans to try and get them to save their blood pressure. I think it's a great idea.
I do too.
What was that?
No, I don't know. We're standing again. Let's check it out.
Keeping America competitive requires us to be good stewards of tax dollars. Every year of my presidency, we've reduced the growth of non-security discretionary spending.
Oh, geez. And
that's not exactly something to be proud of, is it? I mean, when you use fancy words like we've reduced non-discretionary, non-security spending, what that means is that every year of my presidency, we've screwed the poor a little bit more. Jeez.
It just makes me think Australia's greatest ever rock tour promoter once told me, he said, money is the way the talent list keeps score.
Ain't that the truth? Okay, we got a little low-grade clap going for this one.
That members of Congress are working on earmark reform because the federal budget has too many special interest projects. And we can tackle this problem
Medicare
if you pass the line item veto.
The line item veto.
It's already been declared to be unconstitutional. They gave it to Bill Clinton and took it away, but now he wants it. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you've been to our blog today, but Gail's put up a sympathy card for the United States, saying sympathy for the loss of your democracy.
Yeah, 12thharmonic.com.
Yep, and it's after what happened with Alito. I agree with you. We cannot lose the energy from what we built on this last weekend. But I'm really glad that you're on air doing this, and that everybody's kind of together in this chat room, so we don't have to deal with this absolute onslaught of lies. Alone, and I just wish the Democrats would turn their back on it.
I wish they'd get up and walk the hell out, but, you know, that requires something called courage. Be no courage, John.
Now, I don't have the images in front of me. Were the Democrats refraining from the applause when he entered?
No.
No, everybody was just clapping like the circus just came to town, and I guess it did.
They're all being good little Germans now, aren't they?
Jawohl.
All right, well, I'm going to leave you the line open for someone else to come in and rant a little bit. So we'll be seeing you on Saturday, and we got a bit of a special coming up on Hamas.
Oh,
on
really?
Saturday. Yeah.
And that's Saturday at 10, right?
Yes, and I'll probably have a little bit more information on that for you. We're going to have a special guest coming in to talk about Hamas, Palestine, Israel, and how everything else applies. So have a great night, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, John.
Good
take
day.
Care.
Good day
bye-bye.
To you and Gail.
Yeah, good day.
Oh, absolutely. All the love.
All right,
love
bye
you.
Now.
Bye now.
John Fox, half of the team of 4th Estate Radio, 10 o'clock Saturday night, 4thestateradio.com. We'll be there. You be there. Join us in the Tom Hartman chat room. Let's go back and get Ben back on the line. Did you have time to run off and get your anti-emetics, Ben?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also had time to go and extend the recording time so we can blow past the hour.
Okay, cool.
And offer bipartisan solutions. We need to put
listen to the slurring, Ben.
Politics and work together and get this
bipartisan solutions.
Well, that's, you know, part of the concept.
Well, you know, I mean, this guy sounds like Foster Brooks on the old Dean Martin roasts.
You know, I wish they'd just be honest with us about what's wrong with us.
Yeah.
I mean, they tell us what's wrong with Cheney.
His body's rejecting its parts. Oh, my foot got rejected.
For all that Americans make and grow.
I think he's got one of those jobs.
One out of every five factory jobs in America is related to global trade. And we
trade.
Want people everywhere to buy American. With open markets.
What was that guy that had that hardware, like Barney something or other?
Yeah.
Compete the American worker.
The non-union American worker is what he means. You know, I'm surprised they haven't changed this to State of the Homeland. They hate unions so much.
Keeping America. Sadly, it says State of the Union in the Constitution, you know.
Does it? It says the president shall from time to time report to Congress on the yada, yada, yada.
On the State of the Union.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, he's a unitary executive. If he wants to call it the State of the Homeland, he can.
To meet this goal, we must have stronger immigration enforcement and border protection.
Perfection.
Yeah, except all barbed wire is going to be facing him.
Yeah.
We must have a rational, humane guest worker program that rejects amnesty, allows temporary jobs for
guest
people worker, who seek them legally,
slave?
And reduces smuggling and
yeah.
crime.
Isn't that
border.
What the Hebrews were?
Yeah, they were guest workers in Egypt, Ben. You guest workers need to make you some bricks without straw.
Keeping America competitive requires affordable health care.
I can't believe it. Oh, we're standing up again. Okay. Oh, boy, I think I just saw a Democrat protest. He stood up slower.
Our government has a responsibility to provide health care for the poor and the elderly, and we are meeting that responsibility.
What?
For all Americans, we must confront the rising cost of care, strengthen the doctor-patient relationship.
There was an old lady at the pharmacy the other day crying because she couldn't get her medicine because her Medicare was so messed up.
I know.
Health information technology to help control.
There's going to be a line in here in a minute about stopping frivolous lawsuits against doctors. I promise.
Individuals and small business employees can buy insurance with the same advantages that people working for big businesses now get.
What that means, Ben, I have no freaking idea.
We will do more to make this coverage portable so workers can switch jobs without having to worry about losing their health.
Band-Aids are portable.
Oh, I know what this means. It means nobody will have any kind of decent insurance. It'll be just the same everywhere you go.
Yeah, it all sucks.
Leaving women in nearly 1,500 American counties without a single OBGYN, I ask Congress to pass medical liability reform this year.
Am I good or what?
Is Bill Frist smiling?
Oh, grinning like a fox eaten out of a wire brush, I'm sure.
Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy. And here we have a serious problem.
This
America
is the addiction
is
line.
To
there
oil,
it is.
Which is often imported from unstable parts of the world.
Often.
Oh,
the best way to break this addiction is through technology. Since 2001, we have spent nearly $10 billion to develop cleaner, cheaper, and more reliable alternative energy sources.
That
and we are on the
BS.
Threshold of incredible advances.
You know what most of that
so
money
is spent
on?
Nuke.
Initiative. Stripper well,
yeah.
It's more oil. It's only considered to be an advanced technology because they process the oil a bit after they take it out of the ground to remove salt water.
Yeah, we've got something like that with coal here where coal companies get this huge grant for literally spraying diesel fuel on top of oil.
Yeah. Yep. Becomes an enhanced fuel.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, I despise him, Ben. I do so despise him.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, there is a use for that sort of technology. You take comb. You know what comb is?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you mix tar with it, and you turn into stuff you can then throw in the power plant.
Additional research and cutting-edge methods of producing ethanol, not just from corn.
Not just from corn.
But from wood chips and stalks or switchgrass.
Switchgrass.
Our goal is to make this new kind of ethanol practical and competitive.
Does anybody believe he actually sits around thinking about this kind of stuff? Is there anybody that stupid left in America, Ben? Switchgrass.
He doesn't even know what the heck it looks like.
No.
He likes ethanol, though.
ETOH.
Breakthroughs on this and other new technologies will help us reach another great goal. To replace more than 75% of our oil imports from the Middle East by 2025. By applying...
Esther, you're safely out of office, and your brother's safely out of office.
Technology of America,
yeah.
This country can dramatically improve our environment, move beyond a petroleum-based economy, and make our dependence on Middle Eastern oil a thing of the past.
Well, your friends, the Saudis must love this.
Oh, yeah. Look, the Democrats stood up and yelled for this. Dependence on foreign oil, a thing of the past. Our dependence on foreign oil will be a thing of the past when foreign oil is a thing of the past.
Well, we're getting there pretty closely. I mean, you know, Iraq's oil production dropped last year.
Oh, yeah.
We must continue to lead the world in human talent and creativity.
Oh, God.
Our greatest advantage in the world has always been our educated, hardworking, ambitious people, and we're going to keep that edge. Tonight I announce an American Competitiveness Initiative to encourage innovation throughout our economy and to give our nation's children a firm grounding in math and science.
I have to ask, is our children learning?
Yep, by cutting the amount of money we're giving every school.
It's just amazing. Oh, look at him grin.
First, I propose to double the federal commitment to the most critical basic research programs in the physical sciences over the next 10 years. This funding will support the work of America's most creative minds as they explore promising areas such as nanotechnology and supercomputing and alternative energy sources.
Yeah, second, just not stem cell research.
Research
and
development tax
credit, yeah,
to encourage bolder.
What I want to know is, will it blow somebody up?
Well, you know, if you got really good at nanotechnology, it's a great weapon.
Yeah.
You just release your little nanites, and they seek out the one person you want to kill, and they turn him into a gray ooze.
Ugh.
In fact, you could have an all-white country that way. Just have little nanites look for African-American genes.
Oh, brother. Bill Bennett would probably be all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure those courses are rigorous enough to compete with other nations. We made a good start in the early grades with the No Child Left Behind Act, which is raising standards and lifting test scores across our country. Tonight, I propose to train 70,000 high school teachers to lead advanced placement courses in math and science. Bring 30,000 math and science professionals to teach in classrooms.
And you know, I don't mean to pour to pee on his parade or anything, Ben, but it's all math and science, math and science, math and science. If you don't have a command of the English language, or some language,
mm-hmm,
you're kind of screwed with the rest of it, aren't you?
Well, and yeah, and you're really, really screwed if you don't have, like, you know, basic nutrition as a young person.
Yeah, because that whole eating sort of helps the development of the brain, doesn't it?
Yeah, except, you know, the low income breakfast programs have been cut way back.
Oh yeah, well that, and you know, how many thousands of people are getting their food stamps cut because of this clown's budget that was passed a couple of weeks ago?
Yet our greatness is not measured in power or luxuries, but by who we are and how we treat one another. So we strive to be a compassionate, decent, hopeful society.
Well, he said something I agree with.
In recent years, America...
How's that?
That is how you measure our greatness, and we don't have any left.
That's the truth.
...to their lowest levels since the 1970s. Welfare cases have dropped by more than half over the past decade.
Yeah, but see, that's cheating, Ben. You can't say welfare cases have dropped when they've dropped because you know the poor didn't disappear. You can't use those kind of statistics. Ignoring people doesn't make them go away, and it's not proof of success.
Yep, they're still living under the underpass.
Yeah, you're just not looking.
These gains are evidence of a quiet transformation, a revolution of conscience in which a rising generation is finding that a life of personal responsibility is a life of fulfillment.
Am I in the same country with this clown?
Wise policy.
I sometimes wonder.
And support for abstinence and adoption.
I mean, honest to God, I said it earlier, it's turned into a Star Trek episode.
Democrat and Republican has a right to be proud of this record.
Well, they don't need to fix the transporter and send the bad towards back to get the good towards the citizen.
Are you getting the video of this, Ben?
No, not watching. I can't stand looking at his face. There is no anti-emetic yet, Ben, at this hurling, man.
And the health of our most basic institutions. They're concerned about unethical conduct by public officials and discouraged by activist courts that try to redefine marriage.
They worry about children in our society who need direction and love.
As long as it's not homosexual love.
And about displaced by natural disaster and about suffering caused by treatable diseases. As we look at these challenges, we must never give in to the belief that America is in decline.
One of the guys in the chat room just said, boy, talk about someone trying to kiss all the asses in one speech.
We have proven the pessimist wrong before, and we will do it again.
Can I mean, are we just so polite now that nobody can boo him?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, they didn't tolerate booing at Nuremberg.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. They got you a swift trip to Dachau. Oh, they like that one. They're harumphing, Ben. What were you going to say?
They had better staging at Nuremberg.
Well, that's true. But he got a big harumph out of that one.
I thank the Senate for confirming both of them. I will continue to nominate men and women who understand that judges must be servants of the law and not legislate from the bench.
This is the gloating segment of the speech, Ben.
Yes.
Yeah, show us a few of the quizzlings.
...of a very special American. For 24 years of faithful service to our nation, the United States is grateful to Justice Sandra Day O'Connor.
I know you're grateful, Dirk, because you put me in that speech.
You know, I'm ashamed of her. She didn't have to retire right now.
No, she didn't.
I mean, it's a lifetime appointment. You're supposed to serve till you die.
She has got other opportunities in industry.
Yeah.
Not cut ethical corners and that recognize the matchless value of every life. Tonight I ask you to pass legislation to prohibit the most egregious abuses of medical research, human cloning in all its forms, creating or implanting embryos for experiments, creating human-animal hybrids.
Hold it. Creating or implanting embryos?
Yeah, creating human... What is this? The island of Dr. Moreau now? Who was advocating that, Ben? Damn!
Well, that's his religious right. You know, they paid him to say that.
Yeah, but I mean, I read a lot of news. You read a lot of news. The people in the chat room, the people listening, we're smart people. We process oodles of information. I have not read one story about one scientist wanting to create a dog person.
Nope.
Holy cow.
Strengthen the ethical standards of Washington and support your efforts. Each of us has made a pledge to be worthy of public responsibility. And that is a pledge we must never forget, never dismiss, and never betray.
This is newspeak.
Pure and simple.
You know, he says how we should never do all the things he does.
Right. Well, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
No. What he does isn't that thing anymore then.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
America in our compassion and care for one another. A hopeful society gives special attention to children who lack direction and love. Through the Helping America's Youth Initiative, we're encouraging caring adults to get involved in the life of a child. And this good work is being led by our First Lady, Laura Bush.
Oh, God. Dimebag Laura.
Caring adults to get involved in the life of a child, huh?
You know, when she stands there grinning, and does she ever think about that boy she killed? You think she does, Ben?
You know...
That boyfriend, T-boned
him. I think she killed him on purpose.
This year we will add resources to encourage young people to stay in school.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So more of America's youth can raise their sights and achieve their dreams.
They just had a nasty breakup.
A hopeful society comes
That's
to
true.
The aid of fellow citizens in times of suffering and emergency and stays at it until they're back on their feet. So far, the federal government has committed $85 billion to the people of the Gulf Coast and New Orleans. We're removing debris and repairing highways and rebuilding stronger levees. We're providing business loans. And
they ain't Class 5 levees.
No, they're not. And what's more, a lot of that money is going to do things like rent house trailers that we're paying Halliburton and his associates $6,000 a month for.
Well, you know, and you know those purchases go into the housing numbers, right?
Yep.
And job skills that bring upward mobility and more opportunities to own a home and start a business. As we recover from a disaster, let us also work for the day when all Americans are protected by justice, equal in hope, and rich in opportunity.
I mean, there's some crap I just can't tolerate, Ben, and that's one of them. Justice, hope, equality. He just put a guy on the court who's the antithesis of all of that. Jeez.
A hopeful society acts boldly to fight diseases like HIV/AIDS, which can be prevented and treated and defeated. More than 1 million Americans live with HIV, and half of all AIDS cases occur among African Americans. I ask Congress to reform and reauthorize the Ryan White Act and provide new funding to states so we end the waiting list for AIDS medicines in America.
Screw the waiting list. How about being able to afford the AIDS medicines in America? You know, or am I crazy, Ben?
Nope. And, you know, if they just, you know, teach the use of condoms rather than trying to teach abstinence and make medical syringes cheap to get at the pharmacy and legal, there wouldn't be all the AIDS to cure.
No, there wouldn't, but that's way too easy.
End the stigma of AIDS and come closer to the day when there are
no
infections
in America.
Oh,
there was a nice little come closer to the day. This guy's Xanaxed up or something, isn't he?
Citizens, we've been called to leadership in a period of consequence. We've entered a great ideological conflict we did nothing to invite.
What?
We see great changes in science and commerce that will influence all our lives. Sometimes it can seem that history is turning in a wide arc toward an unknown shore. Yet the destination of history is determined by human action. And every great movement of history comes to a point of choosing.
Huh?
Lincoln could have accepted peace at the cost of disunity and continued slavery.
Oh, he's Lincoln now.
Martin Luther King could have stopped at Birmingham or at Selma and achieved only half a victory over segregation.
Oh, Jesus.
The United States could have accepted the permanent division of Europe and been complicit in the oppression of others. Today, having come far in our own historical journey, we must decide, will we turn back or finish well? Before history is written down in books, it is written in courage. Like Americans before us, we will show that courage, and we will finish well.
My mouth is hanging open, Ben. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
We will compete and excel in the global economy. We will renew the defining moral commitment.
I thought he had somebody writing this stuff for him. This stuff is illiterate.
I think Barbara Cartland's writing this stuff for him.
Faithful to its cause and confident of the victories to come. May God bless America.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
May God forgive America.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
I don't think we're entitled to it, Ben.
But, you know, unless his forgiveness is truly infinite.
Jesus.
Well, my friend.
That's it.
You take care.
Gonna try to. Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Enjoyed it. Bye now. Well, that's it, folks. Of course, you know the basics. You know, of course, that my lovely wife, Agnes, produced the show tonight. You know that Brian Reznor announces. You know that Randy Kerbway sets up our operation. Or engineered the studio. You know that Ben Birch, from whom you were hearing just a moment ago, Ben Birch is the hardest working man in liberal talk. And he maintains the stream of this program as well as the archives of this and many other fine liberal programs. And he's got a funding drive underway right now. I strongly suggest that instead of providing campaign money for the likes of Robert C. Byrd, that you take, you know,